if you are not the most peaceful and happiest version of yourself in this moment, and you can get to this down the road, you can diagnose down the road if you'd like, but in this moment, don't diagnose, don't label, just say, where do I want to be at? Am I there? And if I'm not there, let's get curious.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Helping with Dr. Richard Schuster. Food for the brain, knowledge from the experts, tools to win at life. I'm your host, Dr. Richard. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, and whatever you do, this is the show that is going to help you become the best version of yourself. Each episode, you will hear from some of the most amazing, talented, and successful people on the planet who followed their passions and strive to help others. Join our movement to get 1 million people each day to commit acts of kindness for others. Together, we're going to make the world a better place. Are you ready? Because it's time for your Daily Helping. Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Daily Helping Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Richard, and our guest today is fantastic, inspirational. There's so many amazing adjectives I could use to describe Alexandra Miles. She is the founder and CEO of Project Blackbird, a nonprofit based out of Washington, D.C., with a focus on mental health impact. Alexandra earned degrees in business and fine arts from Boston University and SCAD before producing Project Blackbird. Alexandra tours high school and college campuses with the Project Blackbird short film and pairs this screening with athletes, actors, and other public figure guest panelists sharing their lived experience around mental health. The organization's full program aims to reduce mental health stigma for the youth and in underrepresented communities, connecting these audiences with free therapy and other mental health resources. Currently producing Alma to be filmed in spring 2026. Alma's a narrative feature expanding on the themes of Project Blackbird. Alexandra has screened and been featured as a speaker at Sundance Film Festival, Cannes Film Festival, the UN General Assembly, South by Southwest, TIFF, amongst numerous other conferences and university presentations and speaking engagements. Alexandra Miles, it is so great to have you with us today. Welcome to the Daily Helping Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Richard. Excited for it.
Well, I'm grateful you're here. And I always ask people, when they come in onto the show, hey, let's jump into the time machine. Let's go back in time and let's talk about what really put you on the path you're on today. But I don't feel like that gives you enough credit in this particular case because your story is so powerful. And rather than allowing yourself to basically succumb to mental health challenges and be a victim, you're actually doing something so incredibly powerful and inspiring about it. So I wanted to set that framework to say that I don't just want to hear your story. I'm grateful and honored that you're sharing our story with us today.
Thank you so much for saying that. That really means the world. And, you know, I actually think being able to help others has been able to help me champion myself too along the way. And I want to make it very clear that that recovery process is not linear. And I do still struggle today. You know, I have my moments today as I had my moments before, and pulling back the curtain, I will of course, you know, share where all of this came from and what inspired Project Blackbird. But it's okay to struggle with mental health. It's okay to ask for help. It's very real and it helps to be honest about it. It helps you recover and it helps the mental health struggle lose a little bit of its power. So it really has helped me to be honest and vocal about it and to champion this nonprofit as I have learned to champion myself too. So yeah, I guess my time machine, back in 2018, I was diagnosed with an eating disorder in Los Angeles, where I lived in Los Angeles at the time. And I ended up in treatment at a treatment center. I sent myself in, actually. I went to see a psychiatrist because I couldn't understand what was happening. I couldn't stop thinking about food, planning my meals my entire day. I was counting calories, but I was still eating, and that didn't match exactly what I read in a textbook in high school. In a textbook in high school, I read that if I did not eat, anorexia was not eating, was starving. Now, that's not what mine looked like. So I went in to be seen, and I was actually told by my doctor, you're fine. You're eating, you're moving, you're fine. So I, long story short, kept going in. I said, I'd like to consider treatment. I'd like to go into treatment. Well, I thought I was going to be at a residential center. And I ended up breaking down when I got the phone call that I actually had deteriorated my body to the point where I needed inpatient treatment. I needed to go to a hospital first. And I was floored because all of those around me were saying that I was fine. So long story short, ended up at the hospital, ended up spending 8 months in treatment. But at treatment, I met another young woman. Kendra Williams is her name. And she took on the nickname Blackbird as kind of what inspired the film and what inspired the organization, Project Blackbird. She had a tattoo of a blackbird on her neck, and she was very silent. She hardly spoke to anybody at treatment. She was very different than I was. Different background, different traumas, different diagnosis. We were very different people. I was very outspoken. She was very silent. But we connected really deeply because we experienced also a lot of silence from our own communities when it came to mental health. Nobody was speaking about the issues that we were experiencing. Someone might say, I feel stressed or anxious, but really nobody was open about depression or suicidal ideation or real overwhelming anxiety or eating disorders. Nobody spoke about it. And we were so ashamed of what we were going through because nobody in our community spoke about it that we didn't know how to heal. We didn't know how to really ask for help. You know, we went silently to play. We were lucky enough to have gotten there, but we both experienced a lot of shame and silence around those topics and themes. So I was in treatment with her. We realized when we connected that deeply that we were not alone in our experiences. And when we were able to finally talk about it with each other and open up about it, that's when that healing began. So down the road, that's what inspired the film that I created about Kendra Williams and Alexander Biles, myself, about these two individuals that meet at a treatment center. And that film is a narrative film. It's not documentary, but it is based on our story. And the purpose of that is to really show somebody what lies behind mental health struggle, help somebody see that it's not about the food. It's not about necessarily the alcohol, if it's an addiction. It's not about necessarily how it manifests, but it's what lies behind that. And seeing everybody as human, seeing every individual as a story versus seeing somebody on a street. And for example, if you see somebody on the street yelling at you for cutting them off, what happened in their day? What happened in their childhood? What is the story and what's the painting behind that action? What is their narrative? And seeing someone as a person and not just that immediate action. So the film was meant to inspire, the film was meant to engage, and that's what we use now as the engaging material behind the program Project Blackbird that we tour.
And I want to take a much deeper dive into what the nonprofit actually does, because it's important. But before I do that, I want to go back a little bit, because it's interesting, you know, for you, this started in 2018. You go to your doctor, he says nothing's wrong. Then you find out that your body has deteriorated to the degree that you need to spend 8 months in a hospital. So to get to that point, that obviously doesn't happen overnight, right? So how long had this been a challenge for you? And what I'm really interested in addition to that is, what was the thing that finally pushed you to go get help?
Quite honestly, and my experience is different than many others. And this is why now I really, really make it a point to say, it is not about a textbook definition. You really have to identify for each individual, you know, what is the experience, and not all bodies respond as mine did also. The earliest that I can go back to having even a thought about what I'm putting in my body being linked to the way I looked was right after I graduated college. I started working at TJ Maxx, Marshall's, Home Goods, a corporate office. And I unfortunately had an experience with a manager there that made me question my intelligence and worth. And I think for me, that was something that was the cherry on top. I heard it said once, genetics loads the gun, environment pulls the trigger. Now, I don't know if that's true, but in my experience, that's what it felt like. It felt like I may have been, I have the attributes and qualities that you see often with eating disorders. You know, when I was in that center, a lot of us did exhibit similar attributes. So that could be the genetic piece of it. And I know that there's genetic trauma involved there as well. I had several traumas growing up that didn't seem to make a direct impact I would always say, no, it really didn't affect me that much. No, I was fine. No, it really didn't matter. And then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, this one scenario, something snapped. And I remember thinking, I want to go see a therapist. I had never thought about seeing anybody before, thought about anything mental health, to be honest, before this. And I remember thinking, I'm lying to myself if I think that I'm smart, if I think that I belong on this planet, I'm lying. And she just, it's been proven to me now. What am I doing? And from that moment on, I just remember thinking, and it started small. It was, I'm looking around the office and I'm seeing other people not have as much as I have for breakfast. Maybe I should start not overindulging. In my brain, I was overindulging. Maybe for my lunch, I should have one sandwich instead of two. I was always hungry. I wanted two sandwiches, but I would cut myself off at one because that was the rule, quote unquote. So I started developing these rules. And over a course of a few years, that turned into moving to Los Angeles and seeing on social media, seeing from friends that they were counting calories, going to Orange Theory, which, and I'm not here to say that it's good or bad. I loved Orange Theory. I used to go religiously 3 times a week. It's great for some people. It's not for others. And for me, as someone who had never worked out before and who, quite frankly, does not need a lot of cardio, my body makeup does not require cardio. Walking I love now, but I really don't need to be doing as much running as I was doing in that class. And so going 3 times a day, I lost weight very, very quickly. It was not good for my body. So I started developing these rules. And the reason I went actually was not based on my body, but it was based on my mind. My mind developed these patterns of, I must go to Orange Theory once every 3 days. I must count calories to this much. I mean, just these rules about colors that I would eat together, like very OCD kind of tendencies. I mean, I wouldn't have, if I had a salad for lunch, I couldn't have a salad for dinner. And I was constantly planning and constantly thinking about food, which I now know I was constantly thinking about food because I was hungry. I was not providing my body with the right nutrients. So my brain kept thinking about food for a reason. You know, that's your brain saying, we need the nutrients. Think about it, think about it, think about it. So it was driving me crazy. I was leaving social events early. I was going to sleep early because I was so hungry. And I would just tell myself, you get food in the morning, but you've already maxed out for the day. So just go home, go to sleep, go home, go to sleep, go home, go to sleep. I mean, that narrative would just cross my mind day after day after day. And I never ended a day without being hungry. So it was over time. But that was probably 2014 is when I can first remember having a thought about food. It really didn't escalate to anything like calorie counting until probably, yeah, maybe 2016. So about 2 years before I went to treatment was when I started exercising and thinking about the caloric intake that went in my body. But that at least kind of pulls back the curtain behind the thought process. And
in what year did you get out of school and start working at TGX Corporate?
2014.
Okay. Hey guys, Dr. Richard here. For the past 7 years, I've been privileged to bring you incredible guests who are changing the world and can help you become the best version of yourself. I'm really excited to share with you a new quiz that I created based on my clinical training that will curate for you a custom list of my top episodes and actionable strategies to help you wherever you are on your journey. All you need to do is go to drrichardschuster.com to take it, and it's 100% free. You'll be taking the next step on the journey to unlocking the power of you, and I can't wait to see where you'll go. And so it's interesting, when I used to run group therapy classes many, many years ago, the analogy I would use is a bucket, all right? Our resiliency, our capability to modulate stress is a bucket. So your car breaks down, you have to spend $2,000 on a new whatever, right? That's some water in the bucket. Or you have a relative who's gets a cancer diagnosis that you're very close with. There's more water in the bucket. And so whether it's environmental stressors, whether it's, you know, unresolved emotional trauma that we're carrying, everything is water in the bucket.
Yeah.
What it sounds like in your case happened and happens for many people, even though the comment of the person you were working for might not have been that horrible in a vacuum, it was enough water to make the bucket overflow.
Absolutely.
And so that's kind of what it sounds like. And again, for so many of us, it's that way, right? We hold things in. We don't appropriately forgive. We don't appropriately work on our own self as we need to. And things just spill over. And I think that's a commentary on society. Like, we as a society are not adequately handling our emotional distress, particularly younger people who feel overwhelmed. And so when I know that there's an organization like Project Blackbird putting boots on the ground at universities and talking to people, because you're young, right? And so they'll listen to you. They might not listen to me anymore, but they'll listen to you, right? Because it's your story and it's Kendra's story, and you're young and you are the example. Like you said, you're a work in progress. We all are, but you're the example that there's a different way. And so again, you know, having the onus at a young age to get the help that you did, amazing. Many people would not. Many people would then turn to the next destructive thing, right? Be it drugs or alcohol, and you got help and you're helping others. So I want to give you the spotlight here, Alex, to talk in detail about how Project Blackbird is changing lives everywhere.
Thank you for that. And I have a couple things that I want to say about what you just spoke about too. And I mean, something that we are providing through Project Blackbird, one of the resources that we provide is therapy. And with that therapy comes different tools and practices and actual resources that you can use. And one, I think what we've realized through bringing this program around to schools is there's an idea and a stigma around therapy that you have to go to therapy when you've experienced something very dramatic or huge. But the reality is you're building tools for communication. You're building tools for burnout. You're building tools for when that bucket starts to become more full. And before I dive into Project Blackbird, I did want to say I really love that analogy. And I think one tool that I will actually probably take from this conversation is to prevent taking something out on someone that maybe doesn't deserve it, whether it's, or to prevent taking it out on yourself when it becomes too much. I think a nice check-in could even be daily. How full is my bucket right now? What has happened today? Has there been water added to the bucket? Have I had a chance to empty it out? How do I best empty it out? You know, what is my way of emptying my bucket? And do I need to do that right now? Do I need to schedule time tomorrow? How full is it? And how do I actually get ahead of it before it overflows? And I really, really like that analogy. And as I said, I think it's something that I can incorporate into my own daily life. I think that's brilliant. So thank you.
No charge on that one. Absolutely. There's so many fun analogies like that, right? Because it's just something that anybody can visualize and it makes sense. And that's why I used it in these group therapy sessions. I would actually draw a bucket on the blackboard or the whiteboard with the marker, and people would just in my therapy group would call out what's filling your bucket today, and we'd write it on the board, and then we'd actually go through the process of breaking down.
That's great.
You know, and I was a cognitive behavior therapy guy, so it was always kind of these questions to say, okay, well, how do we really know it's that bad, right? Like, yeah. Usually it's not. So anyway, if any of you like the bucket, by all means, you know, use it. It's great. Basically, we owe it to ourselves to leverage any tools that work for us to help us get through our days and be mentally healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. Completely agreed. And I'll use that as a nice transition to Project Blackbird to share how we provide those resources that, as you mentioned, are specific, whatever works for every individual. That's what we aim to provide ultimately, is an answer to healing. We are not the answer. We aim to connect with the answer. So Project Blackbird, the organization, is at large a program that we have built and iterations of that program where we provide awareness to destigmatize, and then we provide access to care, all of it in the moment, in that same moment. So what does that program look like? That program is the film that we screen. It's a 13-minute film. It's a narrative film, not a documentary. But we do share after this 13-minute film that it is based on a true story. That true story happens to be the one that I shared. It's my own true story. And I'll share that with all of our audiences. But following that share, I let them know that that's one way that mental health struggle can manifest, is what happened for myself, what happened for Kendra. But there are multiple ways and multiple struggles out there. And that's when we bring in our other role models. So we work with NFL players, Hall of Famers. We work with other professional athletes. We work with actors and musicians, singers, any public figure that is a role model to these students and community members. And we have them just share their lived experience so that these audiences realize that their role models are human. And it's okay to say, I'm not okay and I need help. After we have that conversation, where we'll sometimes address different ways to support someone who's struggling, we address what are things that indicate burnout for us, what are the things that you can look out for burnout for yourselves. We will touch on, and we often have clinicians sit on the panel or moderate the panel. So we do touch on actual coping mechanisms and what to look out for and support. After we have this conversation, we have a journal prompt and we have our entire audience fill out right on the spot something that they struggle with and a message of hope. And that message of hope is not only to somebody else, but it's to themselves as well. As we conclude the event, we ask that as the audience exits the room, they leave that response behind and take home a prior participant. And it's all anonymous. They don't know what, you don't know what they look like. You don't know where they come from. Completely anonymous. But you realize that everybody has something that they struggle with. And it's this moment of real-time connection. That's kind of the engaging part of the program. So we pair awareness plus engagement, and then we add in the support. And that's how we make actual change in these individuals' lives. So the film, the panel, the journal activity. Then, as the event ends, comes the support. We let them know that Project Blackbird is going to be paying for a full year of therapy for every student in that audience. This is particularly our student initiative. But it doesn't matter if they have insurance or not. We want to give every individual the opportunity to explore therapy and to really start to get to know what is happening for them so that they can take those next steps after the year is up with their therapist. They can work with the therapist to determine what are my next needs and what are my next steps. Also in the back of the room, we put together a resource fair, and that's local resources, national resources, different supporters of ours. We have sports teams that will be there. We have treatment centers, therapists, dietitians, hospitals. Really, it's bringing together the community that cares about mental health and the community that wants to reach these students and the resources that these students really need and want as well. And our team goes out to every local community to make sure that it's a good fit for that community. So we want to make sure that it's community-based, affordable resources. We look at these audiences and individuals as human, as individuals, instead of as numbers. And we really want to make sure that we build trust amongst health and mental health resources as well, where not a lot exists.
Amazing. And we've used the term young people. We've used the term students. I just want to clarify, are we talking... I know we're college students are part of this. Are we also talking the K-12 world tour, or are we just focusing on colleges mostly?
So the organization at large, our bread and butter, if you will, we really address college students, high school students, and we definitely enter the middle school space. We've done the middle schools, and actually there are some of our most impactful events and programming. And it breaks my heart to say that because it is starting at a very young age, eating disorders, unfortunately, suicidal ideation. I mean, these thoughts are developing at a very young age and do need to be addressed. But we're very mindful when we enter that space. We communicate with the schools. We work very closely with the schools and programming. So if the film is not appropriate for the students, we might just do the panel. We shape this program in a way that makes sense for the audiences, but we have not yet gone below middle school. So right now it really is middle school to college. And then we do these events for the community. We have one upcoming in Washington, D.C., partnering with the Department of Employment Services and with the APA Foundation. We're doing a men's mental health panel where we're having the professional sports teams from the D.C. area getting their players involved and really having a conversation about men's mental health for the men in the D.C. community. So for that one, again, when we say specific resources, we have resources that really meet men where they're at, that specialize in men's mental health. We want this to be a safe place for men to actually connect and to feel comfortable and safe saying, okay, I need help. And these are the resources that are for me. So that's an example of more of the community event. And then we do film festivals as well. We'll have conversations about film that touches on mental health, but also mental health in the industry, mental health for public figures, mental health on a film set. That's something that is a large issue as well is if you are in the spotlight, if you are a public figure, how do you take care of your own mental health? Because there is a lot of talk on social media. There's a lot of struggle that is involved with needing to be the image of perfection that our society places on these public figures.
This is amazing. So if somebody is listening to this and they're saying, you know, maybe not me, but maybe my nephew or my kid or neighbor. So if they want to direct somebody towards Project Blackbird and their resources, how do you do that?
First of all of our resources listed on the website, they continue to change and grow. It is an active nonprofit, an active website. We are constantly updating based on new relationships that we make, new resources that we discover. So please continue to watch that page, www.projectblackbirdinc.org. Projectblackbirdinc.org is our website, and we have a resource page on there. So please check that out. On social media as well, we are constantly posting ways to support, ways to take care of yourself, resources as well. We champion many of the resources that are in the back of the room with us. So we're constantly resharing as well information from them. So if you want kind of a one-stop shop there, at Project Blackbird Inc., at Project Blackbird INC is our Instagram as well. So you can check that. We're on Facebook as well. Things get posted there too. Resources and strategies are always refreshing and posting on that platform. So we really aim to share new information and different information as much as we can. And at the events themselves, you can find our upcoming events on our website. And if you attend those events, we have numerous resources in the back of the room, always ways to support. At pretty much every event, we'll have somebody in the audience asking about support, and our clinicians will always run through different ways to support a loved one.
Amazing. Alex, our time together has flown by. I've loved every second of our conversation. It's been genuine and it's been meaningful. As you know, I wrap up every episode by asking my guests just this one question, and that is, what is your biggest helping? That one most important piece of information you'd love for somebody to walk away with after hearing our conversation today?
I would say, now this might not be organization specific, but if you are not the most peaceful and happiest version of yourself in this moment, and you can get to this down the road, you can diagnose down the road if you'd like, but in this moment, don't diagnose, don't label, just say, where do I want to be at? Am I there? And if I'm not there, let's get curious. And just get curious about your own mind, get curious about your friend's mind. Let's just get curious and then be vulnerable about it. If you can share with a friend what you're going through, I promise you're making it safer for them to do the same thing.
Well said. Alex, I know you gave us the URL. Give it to us one more time.
It's going to be www.projectblackbirdinc, projectblackbirdinc.org. And our Instagram is Project Blackbird Inc. as well.
Perfect. And for those of you in the car, we got you covered. Everything Alex Miles and Project Blackbird will be linked for you in the show notes at drrichardschuster.com. Alex, I have loved our conversation today. Thank you for being who you are, and thank you for continuing to do the great things that you do with Project Blackbird.
Thank you so much, Dr. Richard. I appreciate you having us on, and I appreciate all that you do as well.
Absolutely. Thank you. And to each and every one of you as well who took time out of your day, thank you for listening to this as well. If you like what you heard, go give us a follow and a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice, because this is what helps other people find the show. But most importantly, go out there today and do something nice for somebody else, even if you don't know who they are, and post it in your social media feeds using the hashtag #MyDailyHelping, because the happiest people are those that help others.